This lecture is on the topic of health insurance. And what I'm going to point out is that what economists think of as insurance is not the same thing as what most people think about when they think about health insurance. If you ask the typical person what's a good health insurance policy, they would evaluate it based on how much it covers. The more it covers, the better the policy, in most people's opinion. They would say, like, boy, if it covers dental care and if it covers eyeglasses and if you don't have to pay anything, then that's a great health insurance policy. From an economic point of view, that is insulation. That is, people are, that means you're insulated from the, from having to pay directly for health care. Because it's all paid for by a third party. But insulation is not the same thing as insurance. Now, another concept of health insurance, which is closer to the economic concept, is catastrophic coverage. And for that, you pay for everything until you reach a high deductible, it's called a deductible, of, say, $10,000. So every amount of health care cost up to the first $10,000 you pay for. After that, the insurance company pays for it. That's a type of catastrophic coverage. There are all sorts of variations on catastrophic coverage, but the basic idea is that you pay a lot until you reach a limit. That's sort of the catastrophe, $10,000 or more. And then when the catastrophe hits, then the insurance kicks in. And that's closer to the idea of real insurance. Now, I want to talk about the origins of health insurance. Health insurance began, I believe, around the 1930s, 1940s, and it began when health care was a lot different now. There were a lot fewer expensive treatments. There wasn't open heart surgery. We didn't have cancer treatment, so that there really was not the types of catastrophic expenses were not really there, and the really, the point of health insurance was to ensure doctors and hospitals that they were going to get paid. So you would prepay into these plans called Blue Cross and Blue Shield. You would pay like a monthly fee, and then those plans would pay for health care. So it was really a prepaid plan rather than a, and it wasn't really designed as insurance. It was just designed to make sure that the doctors and hospitals got paid. And you can see why doctors and hospitals would like a system like that. Suppose we had something that I called, instead of Blue Cross and Blue Shield, Blue Eats, where you pay for restaurant insurance and that's all you can eat. So instead of paying by the item at a restaurant, you would pay a monthly fee and then you could go to a restaurant and your Blue Eats policy would pay for your food. Well, you would certainly eat a lot more food that way because every time you go to the restaurant, it looks like the every item on the menu is free. So you would consume the most expensive food, and you'd probably eat more than you would otherwise. So from a restaurant's point of view, this Blue Eats would be a good system, as long, because the system would pay for the items on the menu. That's what a fee-for-service insurance does. It doesn't, so the consumer pays a flat fee, but the producer receives a fee for every item they sell. And that's a great system for the producer, because people seeing the flat fee will tend to consume as much as possible, but the producer's not receiving a flat fee. The producer is receiving a fee for each item, for each service or for each item on the menu. And so it works really well for suppliers, and that's why doctors and hospitals really loved Blue Cross and Blue Shield. And consumers liked it too because they liked being insulated from health costs. They liked not having to worry when they go into the doctor, of what it's going to cost. But let's now turn to the concept of real insurance and give an example of something like fire insurance. With the health insulation that we've become used to, just about every time you go to a doctor or to go to a hospital, you file a claim and you get some kind of reimbursement from the insurance company. And so it happens very often. But with something like fire insurance, the insurance claims occur very rarely. The claims are for very expensive amounts. They're not for little doctor visits. I mean, if you have a fire, it's going to cost thousands of dollars. And the events are unpredictable. No one can predict when they're going to have a fire. So having those things together, rare, expensive, and unpredictable, is the perfect situation for real insurance. Real insurance, you pay a small premium, and then you get occasionally a very big payoff from that premium because the insurable event has occurred, such as the fire. Well, we don't observe that with health insurance. Health insurance, a lot of the routine health expenses are quite predictable. They're small, and they occur very often. So it's sort of the opposite of the insurance situation. So to think in terms of insurance for healthcare, we have to think in terms of events that are rare, expensive, and unpredictable. And those would be catastrophic illnesses. So one approach to health insurance would be to get paid for being diagnosed with a particular illness. So if you're diagnosed with diabetes, you might get a very large payment. Or if you're diagnosed with colon cancer, you might get a large payment to pay for that kind of treatment. It'd be sort of like when you get into a car accident, an insurance adjuster comes by and says, "Well, all right, you're going to have to replace this fender, and you're going to have to get a wheel alignment and so on." And they add it up, and they give you one check, and then you go and get the work done. Well, similarly, you could imagine a health insurance policy that says if you get diagnosed with certain types of diseases, this is what the reimbursement will be. It's like an adjuster will come in and reimburse you, and then it's up to you to go and get the health care you need. You get one check, and you go get the health care, rather than as it is now, where you go get the health care services and then submit claims for each service to the insurance company. So that kind of event insurance is one example, but let me give you another example of what might be real health insurance, and that's the example in this table. The idea is that every year you pay a premium for a health insurance policy, but that policy will then be in effect over 5 years, and it will pay a claim if over any 5-year period you've paid over $30,000. So it's like a catastrophic policy with a cumulative $30,000 deductible over 5 years. So each year you get a policy. So, example, the policy in 2005, you'll decide whether it pays anything in the year 2010, which is after 5 years. And if you've paid over $30,000 in health care expenses, then you'll get something. If you haven't, then you won't. So this is how it might work. Here's a table. And let's say you bought a policy in 2005 that's going to pay off in 2010 based on how many, what your cumulative expenses were over the 5 years up to and including 2010. And if those expenses are over $30,000, you get the difference. If they're not, then you don't get anything. So you pay for the policy in 2005, and you incur these expenses. And what you find is that in 2010, your total expenses, if you add up those 5 years, 2, 4, 6, and 6 are 12, and 10 is 22,000. You see that 5-year total column is 22,000. That's less than 30,000, which is your catastrophic limits, and insurance doesn't pay anything. Then we get to 2000. So then we buy a new policy in 2006 that's going to pay for the next 5 years. And so we look at the 5-year total in 2011, and that's 32,000 because we started to get really sick in 2009, and again, the expenses really started to shoot up in 2010, 2011. So by 2011, we've had a 5-year cumulative expense of 32,000, and the insurance is going to give you a limit of 30,000, so you get $2,000. Then we took out another policy at the end of 2007 that's going to pay for 2008 through 2012. That 5-year period, we incur 38,000 costs, so the insurance pays 8,000. And then the next year's policy is going to pay even more because at 2013, the 5-year total is 41,000. That's based on the previous 5 years of 6, 10, 10, 10, and 5. So that adds up to 41,000. And since the insurance limit is 30,000, that insurance policy pays 11,000. And at the then your expenses start to go down, and so your subsequent policies start to pay less. And in fact, the policy that you take out at the end of 2010, which is kind of in the middle of your illness, that policy actually won't pay anything because by the time it comes due 2015, your cumulative expenses are 29,000. So what are the advantages of this? An advantage is that you get paid for a big cumulative expense, which is the big worry that people should have. The big financial worry would be sort of a multi-year high-cost illness. It means that you really can't have your insurance canceled in the middle of an illness by in any meaningful way, because by the time this illness hits, somebody has already taken out several of these policies. That is, you've already had policies that you took out in 2006, 2007, 2008 when you were not sick, and those are the policies that really pay off in this instance. Those are the ones that pay the big claims, and so there's no point in the insurance company canceling your insurance because you're sick, because as we said, in the middle of this, by the time you're in the middle of this illness, you're on the way. 5 years from now, you'll be healthy again, and so there's no reason for the insurance company to cancel you in the middle of an expensive illness. So this kind of policy would protect people against real significant financial losses. It would not insulate them from every little expenditure, so that everyone would have an incentive to use healthcare carefully. And it also would not pay people who don't get sick. So a lot of healthcare claims nowadays get paid to people who are not really sick. There are these minor claims by people who are pretty much healthy. So the idea of this cumulative catastrophic insurance is that you would receive a claim only if you got really sick. So it works more like insurance. It takes the rare and unpredictable event of getting of having a very expensive illness and making that be the event that generates claims, rather than every single little trip to the doctor or small inexpensive illness generating a claim. Okay, so that's real health insurance. It might work, let's say, for a young person. But what about the elderly? For the elderly, Medicare works like insulation. That is, it pays fee for service. There's not really a very large deductible, so it is not like catastrophic health insurance at all. And another point about the elderly is that the high cost of health care for the elderly is predictable. Elderly are going to need health care. Even on average, from age 65 until death, people spend $88,000. I saw that figure. And so that's a lot of money. If people don't save enough to cover that, then what you end up doing is transferring money from young people to old people to pay for old people's health care, which is really what Medicare does. Medicare is kind of like Social Security. The taxes on workers now pay for the beneficiaries who have retired. And so what we have is a situation now where we're telling people that they don't need to save for health care, and they're going to incur this fairly high average cost of up to $88,000, and that's going to be paid for by current taxpayers. So instead, you could require people to save. You should come up with some mandatory savings plan that says you're supposed to save $100,000 for the health care that you'll need after you retire. And then you might be able to buy something which I call, and this is something I've kind of made up, called remaining lifetime catastrophic health insurance. And the idea of that is that you will have a limit of how much you can pay out of pocket, but a very high limit, and that limit applies to the rest of your life. So let's say you pay $25,000 for the insurance contract, and that contract gives you a limit of $75,000. So if you end up spending more than $75,000 on health insurance from age 65 until you die, everything over that $75,000 would be paid for by the insurance company. Everything up to and including that first $75,000 would be paid by you. So it'd be a gigantic deductible of $75,000, but that deductible would be enforced for the rest of your life from age 65 on. So you could be absolutely sure that you're not going to go beyond your total $100,000 budget in paying for health care. So to summarize, what the advantages of switching to real health insurance, say like the 5-year cumulative catastrophic health insurance if you're under 65, and the remaining lifetime catastrophic health insurance for people over 65, the advantages of that would be include that, first of all, you could target assistance to the poor. Right now, Medicare goes to the rich just as much as the poor. You could reduce the incentive for people to overconsume health care, which is the case when you have these insulation policies. The insurance itself would be more affordable. If we had remaining lifetime catastrophic health insurance, you wouldn't need Medicare at all. And so that tax, which is a large tax and is going to be a growing tax, wouldn't be there. There would be a lot less claims processing because you don't have to go for claims for every nickel and dime that you spend on healthcare. Most of the spending that people would have on healthcare would be direct payments from the individual to the doctor without all these third-party insurance claims to fill out. You would not get rid of the problem of people losing their health insurance, because right now if you leave a job in the middle of an illness, your health insurance just completely goes away, at least within a year. That's a big problem with our current system, that people lose their health insurance just when they need it. So real health insurance would have a lot of advantages, but I think there's still people are very much attached to what they think of as health insurance, which is this insulation, even though the insulation covers too many things that it doesn't have to cover and leaves a lot of people uncovered. In particular, there are people who can't afford this kind of insulation, and so they go do without health insurance. And then there are people who, in the midst of an illness, lose their job or for some other reason lose their insurance coverage, and they lose out. So if we could get our people's minds in the frame of choosing real health insurance rather than insulation, I think we could be better off.